And after a couple of weeks on hiatus, we resume our annual Summer Movie Festival. The subject today is the most memorable movie meal, the breakfast at Tiffany's, the picnic at Hanging Rock, dinner at 8, or maybe a visit to the deli where Harry met Sally.
Yes! Yes! Oh! Yes! 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 Oh! 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 Oh, God! Oh. I'll have what she's having.
Director Rob Reiner's mother, Estelle, with the perfect punchline. If you have a nominee for Best Movie Meal Ever, the phone number, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. As always, our favorite movie buff, Murray Horowitz, joins us here in Studio 3A. Murray, welcome back.
Welcome back to you, Neil.
And what are the ground rules? Obviously, there's got to be food involved.
There's got to be food, but it's got to be food. It's not about food per se. It's got to be about people usually sitting, but not but around a table to share food, although there are some solo meals that are in movies. And also, as always, no television, movies only.
Movies only.
And I've really prepared for this because I just had some peanut butter crackers and a soda in the green room.
Well, another gourmet meal for the Horowitz family. The social gathering of a meal seems like an irresistible dramatic concept.
Right. Well, it's interesting to use the word dramatic because that's exactly the point. Movie meals are used for a variety of reasons. I mean, there are a lot of them. It's one of the most common human activities. I mean, we usually do it three times a day in this
sure.
country. So it's
four
one
or
of those,
five sometimes.
You've been living well. So it's used for a variety of purposes.
Living large.
But to me, you're right. The best movie meals are the ones, and this is true of so many types of scenes, are the ones that are really integral to the dramatic action where something happens.
Uh-huh. Now, there are some famous discussions of meals or food that don't actually revolve around a meal. For example, I served it with some fava beans and a nice
Chianti. Oh,
right.
This is Hannibal Lecter in I started to say A Nation of Sheep, but no, we all know that. And it's true. Yeah, fava beans and a nice Chianti, I think he says.
But there's no food actually involved in that
That's
scene.
Right. And there are some movies where the meal is everything. Even if we don't see it, and we may hear about one of those later on, or even now, Dinner at 8, where the whole movie builds up to this meal that we never see.
Similarly, The Discreet Charm of the Bourgeoisie.
Right.
I don't think anybody actually gets a bite.
Well, that's right. They're sitting around the table. And the other thing is that there are meals where something is being discussed, but it's almost just an excuse. I remember, I used to direct soap operas in New York,
mm-hmm.
and there would be, two people, and they'd be in a kitchen, and some incredible, deep, dark secret was being revealed, and you'd say, oh, for God's sake, get a coffee service. We have to have them do coffee, because it's an activity for people to do as a kind of a background, and those aren't the best meal scenes to me.
And more since those actors aren't allowed to smoke so much.
It's true. Could have taken forever just filling a pipe and lighting it up.
What was your first movie meal?
Oh, what a good question. Well, to me, it's one that illustrated that exact point about it. It was a Disney cartoon, and it's a great one, and it was actually an imaginary meal. This is a meal that doesn't take place, but there was a Disney cartoon called Mickey and the Beanstalk, which is about, Jack and the Beanstalk, only it's Mickey Mouse. And Mickey has gone off to sell the cow, and Donald and Goofy imagine the banquet they're going to have when he returns.
Hey, look, turkey, lobster, sweet potato pie, pancakes piled up till they reach the sky. Whoa! I want to eat until I die. Turkey, lobster, sweet potato pie, pancakes piled up till they reach the sky. Lots of scorches, lots of greens, fancy chocolate covered
beans!
What do you mean, beans?
It's very dramatic. I mean, Mickey enters, and instead of a feast, he's brought a handful of beans. Of course, they're magic beans.
Beans, yes.
But it must have clued me in at a very young age to the power of imagination and music and film. I love that scene, and I know it by heart.
Here's an email from Jason. I love the dinner scene from Beetlejuice. Maybe I'm just a sucker for Harry Belafonte, but that scene always makes me chuckle when I think of it.
That's it. The possessed shrimp cocktails. And the day Mayo dance. It's an awesome dinner party haunting.
And let's see if we can get a caller in on the conversation. Let's go to, this is Jacqueline. Jacqueline with us from Charlotte.
Hello.
Hi, Jacqueline. Go ahead.
Hi. My favorite movie meal, hands down, is the dinner scene from Big Night from 1996.
Big Night, of course, Stanley Tucci is the one of the protagonists. And let's listen to a little exchange when somebody wants risotto and spaghetti.
Why? She likes starch. I don't know. Come on.
How can she want? Maybe I should make a mashed potato for on the other side.
Primo, look, don't, okay? Because they are the first customer to come in 2 hours.
No. She's a criminal. I want to talk to her.
Tony Shalhoub there with Stanley Tucci.
What a great movie. And it's here again. It builds up to a big meal that is very dramatic, and things happen at the meal, mostly because of the absence of the guest of honor, who is Louis Prima, as I recall.
I think so, yes. Jacqueline, did that make you want to go out and eat some Italian food?
Yeah, I would say, to say the least. That movie is amazing, and like the meal is the whole point of it, because the food that they make encompasses the history of their family and the relationship they have together and what they do with this business and like how they exercise their skills. And I feel like it really addresses all the things that you've talked about that make a great movie, you know, make a meal in a film. Really
makes macaroni a meal. Yes,
right.
Absolutely.
I couldn't agree more, Jacqueline. And also, in addition to those great performances from Tony Shalhoub, Stanley Tucci, a great early performance from Allison Janney in that movie.
Right? Yeah, she's fantastic in that film.
All right. Jacqueline, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go next to, this is Ron. Ron with us from Flint, Michigan.
Yes. I think the name of the movie was Five Easy Pieces, Jack Nicholson trying to order something that wasn't on the menu at a diner and blows up at the waitress and clears the table. Kind of a dark movie, but that,
a very dark movie, remember. Yes.
But again, a very, very dramatic meal and with confrontation with the waitress. And if I can, I think I can give this line.
I think so.
He said, "I want you to hold the chicken between your knees," is what he told me.
Yeah, that always taught us, don't vary. There's no substitutions.
No substitutions.
No substitutions. Ron, thanks very much for the call.
Very good.
Bye-bye. Here's an email. This Daniel in Memphis nominates in Return of the King, Denethor eating while Pippin sings and the cavalry ride off to die.
I believe him.
I believe him, too. I once would have memorized
that.
But this is Joel. My nomination for Best Movie Dinner is the Christmas Duck Dinner from A Christmas Story. You know, Murray, you could put your eye out with that.
Yeah, it's true. And there's a million. Actually, I mean, as I remember, I don't know, a million is an exaggeration, but there are quite a few meals in A Christmas Story where it is one of the great family movies, in my view. And that is to say, not only for families to watch, but about a family. And so needless to say, the meal has a lot to do. And there's a great, great line. Of course, they end up with a Christmas dinner in a Chinese restaurant. And how do the little piggies eat?
How do the little piggies eat?
Show me how the piggies eat. This is your trough.
Be a good boy. Show mommy how the piggies eat. Mommy's little piggy.
It's so dark and so wonderful at the same time. It's based on a Gene Shepherd story.
Let's go next to Steve. Steve with us from Wichita.
Yeah, one of the most memorable meals, I think, would be on board the mining ship in Alien when the alien first made its appearance amongst the crew there. That was a bit of a meal stopper.
Indeed, a meal stopper because, well, who would want to sit down to this dinner?
What's the matter? The food ain't that bad, baby.
Hey, what's the matter?
Boy, right. They don't write them like that anymore.
No, and speaking of the writing of it, you know, my son, Alexander, who is the alien expert, I think, of all time, but certainly in our family, points out that in a conventional sci-fi movie, that would have taken place in the sick bay.
Mm-hmm.
But having it take place during a meal made it just all the more horrific, and I shudder thinking of it.
Steve, we'll invite you over for dinner soon.
I thank you, but a quick question?
Yeah?
Was it true that that meal was that was all done without the crew knowing that the monster was about to appear like that, or is that just a rumor?
Oh, you know, I don't. But I've heard the same rumor, but maybe we can check it out for you.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks very much. Here's an email, Brian in Seattle. Don't forget American Beauty. Someone please pass the asparagus. Great scene and shows the perils of the suburbs.
Yeah, that's one of those that we're talking about where it's a kind of, there are all these kind of emotional family dinners in movies. And directors kind of sometimes, and screenwriters will use the meal just as an excuse to get all the family, all the, these certain characters in a room at the same time. And to me, American Beauty is one where it's a little incidental. I should mention something in terms of filmmaking, Neil, that meal scenes are filmmakers, especially script supervisors, worst nightmares. Because when you take the next take, you got to make sure that the water levels fill to the same height, and you got to make sure that the place settings match from shot to shot. And they're relatively difficult to bring off.
Here's an email we have from Benjamin. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, between the monkey brains and the writhing baby snakes, the turkey sandwich I'm enjoying seems pretty tame. This is Arthur F. Repola, credited as Eel Eater in the script from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Chilled a monkey brain.
And just a bit of trivia, the actor Arthur Repola was the visual effects producer for that film, and the chilled monkey brains themselves, custard and raspberry sauce. It's the Summer Movie Festival. Murray Horowitz is with us. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Murray, the weird part is we think of all these meals, and these are all dinners.
Yeah, almost always dinners, except there are some famous ones. One of the most famous, well, actually, I think of it as a famous movie still of a classic movie was the James Cagney movie, The Public Enemy, which is from 1931. And that's one of the most famous movie breakfasts of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Mae Clark gets a grapefruit strategically pushed into her face by James Cagney.
Scene. Of course, James Cagney really got wrapped up in that role toward the end of the end of the film. Let's see if we can go into another caller. This goes to Jennifer. Jennifer with us from South Bend.
Hi.
Hi, Jennifer.
My favorite dinner scene was from the movie Hook with Robin Williams.
Oh, that's Ironman
Neverland food.
I'm sorry?
The Neverland food.
Right.
Which was like your Mickey's meal, imaginary.
Exactly so. Exactly.
I threaten my husband when he doesn't tell me what he wants for dinner. I'll say, okay, it's Neverland.
Well, and how's it going there, the marriage? It's
it's great. 15 good. Years.
That's great.
All right. Thanks very much,
thanks,
Jennifer. Appreciate that. Email from Connie in San Antonio. Has anyone mentioned the spectacular and sizzling meal in Like Water for Chocolate? I hadn't thought of this one for a while, but now that I've remembered, I will make a point of hunting this movie down to enjoy it again.
All right. It's true. And it's another one, as I recall, where the meal is kind of the culmination of the movie, and it's a kind of dramatic point in the movie.
Let's go next to Alan. Alan with us from St. Louis.
Yes, hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Tom Jones, Fielding's 18th century novel was made into a terribly funny film.
Albert Finney.
Albert Finney, that's right. And there's a voluptuous dinner in which the diners, Tom Jones and Mrs. Waters, have each other for dessert.
Yes, that's exactly right.
There's actually no dialogue in that scene.
It's really good filmmaking.
No dialogue, as I remember at all.
Yeah, I agree, Alan.
On, Tom is informed that he has been in bed with his mother.
Yeah,
it was very bad news.
I think Alan, this was maybe it was because I was an adolescent at the time I saw it, but this was one of the first ones I thought of. But it's also good filmmaking because, as Neil points out, there are no words. It's all done without dialogue, and yet it becomes this metaphor for sex. This incredible sort of lascivious meal.
Didn't need any dialogue.
Right.
Thank you very much. We've mentioned, of course, that a lot of these are about dinners. One mention of breakfast, the grapefruit that poor Mae Marsh had. There's also, of course, one famous late-night snack.
Aren't you drinking?
I never drink. Why?
One of the best lines in movie history, Bela Lugosi.
And then there is...
as Dracula, we had.
One of the strangest scenes on meals on film comes from the Luke Jackson, played by Paul Newman. Cool Hand Luke bets all comers that he can eat 50 eggs in an hour. And, of course, it comes down to the very last.
10, get it down there. 9, get it down there. 7, 6, 5, 4.
He didn't swallow the last.
No, he didn't swallow it.
Oh, you think so, huh? Well, let's take a look here. Open that mouth.
If my boy Luke says he can eat 50 eggs, he can eat 50 eggs. An Oscar for George Kennedy. And that's one of those solo meals we were talking about.
So, Murray, if you had a favorite to pick, what would your favorite be?
This was a tough one, Neil. But I have to say, in the classic Charlie Chaplin feature, The Gold Rush, where he and Max Wayne are starving and they sit down to eat a shoe. It's just one of the great, great movie scenes of all time.
You'd think that someone of course, we don't have a clip. It was a silent movie. But you'd think somebody eating a shoe would do so reluctantly. Charles Chaplin eats that shoe
like it's a poached turbo.
It is an unbelievably delectable feast. We mentioned earlier, of course, there was a famous love scene in Tom Jones,
right?
where no dialogue. Well, there's another famous love scene eaten over a meal, and that is, of course, in Lady and the Tramp, where, of course, the meal is spaghetti.
That strand of spaghetti. On this lovely
eventually, you come to the middle of that strand of spaghetti, and
guess what
happens? Murray Horowitz, thanks very much for
being
with
us. Thank you, Neil. Bon appetit.
Murray, you'll be back next week?
Indeed.
Have we figured out what the film festival is for next week?
We're working on it.
We're working on it. All right. We'll figure it out. Be with us then. Tomorrow, it's Talk of the Nation Science Friday. Ira Flatow will be here to talk about the Chevy Volt and the Nissan Leaf, two mass-market plug-in electric cars with very different technologies. Be here for that. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.